Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite with Bill Moss. Bill Moss, one of the more traveled people in the country. Where the heck are you now, Bill? I guess Bill is about to come on the show. We're going to talk about the what we always talk about on Tuesday shows, which is Tuesday Morning Quarterback. We're going to talk about the particular challenge of individual quarterbacks. We had Solomon Wilcots on the show last week talking about Rex Grossman. If you look around the league, what has been the benchmark for teams doing well and not doing well, and we'll get to Michael Vick in a second, is quarterback. Whether it is Jake Plummer and the turnovers this year that were absent last year, whether it's the lack of talent surrounding him, whether it's the coaching itself with a Rex Grossman, who has been forcing the ball the last five, six games in a way that he wasn't, maybe because the running game was better early in the season. Bill Moss, I asked a couple seconds ago, how are you, buddy? Where are you these days?
Well, I'm out in Steamboat Springs, Colorado right now and headed towards New Orleans for the San Francisco-New Orleans game.
What did you do? What game did you do last week, Bill?
I didn't. I celebrated Thanksgiving. It was enjoyable.
Awesome, man. And you were hunting the week before. Did you catch anything?
Yeah, I set out a snare and I caught a big lion. No, we were fencing out with shotguns. We went out, and of course the season opened in October, so it was great.
There's a rumor that Dick Cheney was available as a target practice as well. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I just made sure I walked behind him.
Hey, buddy, we had Solomon Wilcots on the show, and you know we try to focus on you know, with Len Dawson, of course, and Sam Huff yesterday. We talked a lot about quarterbacks, and it seems like the benchmark for most teams is the ebb and flow of the quarterbacks. We'll get to Michael Vick in a second, but here's the Rex Grossman quote from Solomon Wilcots and what seemed to be working for Chicago, which was turning him loose.
You talk about Rex Grossman. I like people criticizing for doing some of the things that he's doing. I like the fact that Lovie Smith allows this kid to go out and play with the kind of fearlessness that's going to allow him to grow. You can tell he's playing with a great deal of freedom given to him by his coaches, given to him by even the teammates. Even when he makes mistakes, the teammates don't get down on him because they know there's going to be a learning curve. They know that he's still growing. And the fact that he's allowed to go out and make those kind of mistakes, knowing that he's not going to get yanked, not going to get chewed out by his teammates and his coaches, I think it lessens the learning curve. This is a guy who's going to be playing, I think, at the top of his game more consistently, much sooner than some other quarterbacks who have to look over their shoulder from week to week.
That's Solomon Wilcots. It seems like that decision is presenting itself across the league. Which do you think are the better decisions? Obviously, Tony Romo appears to be a good one, but that's a guy in his fourth year. What about Jason Campbell, for instance, in Washington?
You know, I'm not quite sure. Only time will tell, and of course the Cutler move in Denver as well. And you know, when a team is struggling offensively or record-wise, the most popular person in the whole town is the backup quarterback. Well, you know, that's not necessarily the case. And from what I see, the reason Romo is doing so good in Dallas is he's the only one of the struggling quarterbacks or the teams that have been struggling on the offense. He's the only one that is able to throw the ball while his feet are not planted. I watched the game the other night, and he just absolutely amazed me, the accurate throws he made in tight coverage when his feet weren't planted. He was up in the air in all kinds of different ways. It was really amazing. And that's the whole thing. Well, why is he running? Why are his feet in the air? Because there's pressure on the quarterback, and that's what it all comes down to. You look at the Denver Broncos, Jake Plummer. This year, for the first time in the last five years, he's been pressured. They're not running the ball well on first and second down. They're finding themselves in second and third and long all the time. And that's a defensive win, always. You're going to pressure the quarterback, and he has to make something miraculous happen. And that's the whole thing that I'm seeing.
We're talking with Bill Moss from Fox Television. And, Bill, it's interesting to look at the people that surround the quarterback. One thing that Len Dawson talks about all the time, you can blame the quarterback, but when a Tom Brady has let's say, a two-foot interval to fit into rather than a two-yard, as he does this year with a secondary group of receivers, if you will. He's the only guy who's accurate enough to make it still work. But then you look at Jake Plummer, where the drop-off is more significant. He does not have a really threatening tight end, for instance, as a target for a mobile quarterback on third down. Tight end's a very important addition. So it's not all Jake Plummer's fault, is it?
No, and I think that's the thing that you know, people get caught up in. You know, I was listening to the Monday night game last night, and it's all, you know, all about quarterbacks. Make the change. Well, he's not doing good. He didn't do good this series. Make the change. We're so caught up in make the change now. But you know, everyone wants to change because the quarterback isn't the offense. I mean, you know, that's not the offense. Sure, you need a good one back there. But a good one can't be a good one without the other 11, 10 players around him. I mean, it's that simple. Without the offensive line that can protect, without the running back and the running game, without the tight end and the wide receivers running their routes, quarterback is only just one part of the puzzle. And when you have one struggling, he wasn't named the quarterback, the starting quarterback for your team, because nobody believed in him. He showed something to make him the starting quarterback. Well, when the other parts fall down around him, then you have to look and say, okay, we do have problems blocking. We do have problems running the football. Do we have a guy in there that can, you know, extend the play for us with his mobility? And that's what they got with in Romo. I'm not sure what they got yet with Cutler.
Talking with Bill Moss. Bill, you've known Brett Favre for some time, and everyone unanimously agrees that during his prime, he achieved things that few, if any, quarterbacks could ever achieve. But today, again, he does not have the talent around him. As you saw him, speaking of Romo, being able to throw without his feet planted, the Brett Favre we have today is a guy that without his feet planted is not throwing the ball as accurately. A couple interceptions yesterday as one more example. What would you do in that situation? Is he still the answer there, or if you were general manager, would you have said, hey, it's better to move on and give him a chance to finish with some pride?
Well, you know what? Last year I thought that's what should have occurred. But, of course, Aaron Rodgers was hurt, the first-round draft choice from 2 years ago. He came in the game at the end of the game 2 weeks ago and is out for the season. So, you know, where do you go? Do you go to your third-string quarterback and tell Brett Favre, hey, nice run, thanks, because you're not actually moving forward? I think you finish up the year, and then you start looking towards the future. You know, the old saying, you can't steal second with your foot on first. You know, their foot is still on first base. If they want to move forward, they have to move forward as an organization. And it's time for Brett, I believe, you know, to say, hey, thanks, it's been unbelievable, and move forward. And help the organization out to move forward.
Yeah, I think that they have so much respect for him, they're going to let him make that decision, and unfortunately it's going to set them back a couple years. Then we'll move on to Baltimore and Pittsburgh. 9 sacks on Roethlisberger, and what a contrast between the way Brian Billick has been able to customize the offense to Steve McNair, 24 throws, I think it was something like 18 for 24, versus Ben Roethlisberger, 50 attempts at passing, 41 passes he got off, sacked 9 times. Pittsburgh is done. Baltimore is just catching its rhythm. Tell us about Baltimore, what you see for the next the big run in December.
You know, they're catching fire at a great time, and teams that, you know, get deep into the playoffs start catching fire right about now. Their offense is comfortable. It is suited towards Steve McNair. He has been a guy that's helped out extending the play, as we just talked about, that they haven't had in the past with the other 6 or 10 quarterbacks that have been through there. Right. Also, defensively, they're back to where they once were at their Super Bowl level. This is a very good defense, and the heart and core of it, the strength of it, is their linebacking core, not only Ray Lewis, but they have 2 other ones that are just outstanding.
Bart Scott's outstanding. Final thing is this Michael Vick situation as well. You know, was it just a little premature to say just because you had 2 good games in a row that you've made it?
Yeah, well, do you think?
It looks that way.
Yeah, well, you look at where the team's been right now and what's happening now. You know, there's a lot surrounding that team right now. You just don't get a good vibe. Just looking at the body language and the faces on the sidelines and the anger and the disappointment in everybody. And that team's not in a good place right now.
Well, you're in a good place, buddy. Have a good time in New Orleans. Do the best you can. I know that you'll bring some business back there, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Nick.
Thanks, Bill. It's Bill Moss, one of the best people for Fox covering the NFL. When we come back, Morton Anderson, a guy who's kicked 500-something field goals. We'll talk about the 48-yard field goal that George Blanda kicked to tie the game against the Raiders, and our fun discussion with Ben Davidson, the former Oakland Raider, and the dead ball foul against Len Dawson, late game injuries and penalties that can hurt your team and also provide strategy for creative teams like the Raiders. We'll talk with Morton Anderson about that, about Michael Vick, and more coming up on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline.